Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The Hindenburg called, and it would like an apology from everyone who called it a disaster. This is Wretched Radio. Man, it was painful to watch. Jordan Peterson, surrounded by 20 atheists, originally billed as one Christian, 20 atheists. But Jordan Peterson, post-filming, said, no, let's change that because it appears that he didn't want to identify himself as a Christian, as one young, let's be charitable, acerbic young man revealed.
You're a Christian.
You say that. I haven't claimed that.
Oh, what is this? Is this Christians versus atheist?
I don't know.
You don't know where you are right now.
Don't be a smart.
Well, and I mean either you're a Christian or you're not.
To you if you're a smart.
Either you're a Christian or you're not. Which one is it?
I could be either of them, but I don't have to tell you.
Anybody else thinking about a Bible verse right now? I don't know what's going on inside of his heart. I don't know why he chose to be coy about his religious identification. But I do know that Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. That is a scary sentence that may or may not apply to Jordan Peterson, who went about the business of trying to defend whatever his worldview is in front of 20 atheists who, this is worth noting. Don't panic. When I say this, I am not anywhere near even contemplating, considering, thinking about a million miles away from becoming an atheist. So don't panic and jump to conclusions. I'm just saying that overall, with the exception probably of this young man, most of them comported themselves rather well. I found them to be polite. They were gracious. They seemed happy to meet the fellow. They shook his hand. And I thought they overall conducted themselves pretty well. Not all of them, not totally. In fact, one of the fellows that you're going to hear, hey, Dr. Peterson, it's good to meet you, man. I just want you to know, I want this to be congenial. I don't want this to be about who wins and who loses. And about 30 seconds later, so are you telling me? You know, you just going after him. Other than that, it was, I think, a demonstration of how an individual with a differing worldview than the person who's at the center of attention should act. And I think that we Christians, we can learn from an atheist. That kind of hurt to say. We can learn from an atheist how we conduct ourselves. How do we sound when we are apologizing for the faith, which is exactly what Jordan Peterson attempted to do. And I have to tell you, it was nothing short of a disaster.
You don't have to tell me. I was under the impression I was invited to talk to a Christian. Am I not talking to a Christian?
No, you were invited to.
I think everyone should look at the title of the YouTube channel. You're probably in the wrong YouTube video.
You're really quite something, you are.
Aren't I? But you're really quite nothing, right?
Well, that was probably the clip that's getting the most attention. I think it is worth our time to make our way through the encounters and the exchanges that Jordan Peterson had with different atheists. This is the fellow who started out congenially.
God is the unity upon which moral claims are based. That's okay. A definition, right?
Okay, if there is a God, what?
Hold on. That was Jordan Peterson's definition of God. Did you catch it? Have you ever heard that before?
God is the unity upon which moral claims are based.
That is partially true, of course, because without God, there are no moral claims, at least that are objective moral claims. But that is a pretty minimalistic way to define God. Jordan Peterson, who knows where he's at? Apparently, he's attending a Catholic church because his wife became a Roman Catholic, but it appears his ability to articulate in classic terms, in biblical terms, who God is and what Christianity is about, I'm a little reticent. Yes, I said reticent to compare this to classic apologetics. Classic apologetics is always being ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within you when people ask questions. I can tell you about the Bible. I can tell you why it's reliable. I can explain the miracles, etc. And I can give you archaeological evidence. I can defend the faith. That's classical apologetics. Jordan Peterson is doing his own version. And while I know the comparison isn't entirely fair, ask yourself the question, would anybody get saved from this form of apologetics? Now, I know that wasn't Jordan Peterson's desire as he went into this setting with 20 atheists, but ask yourself the question, is anything that is being expressed by an apologist, Jordan Peterson style, going to get anybody saved? And I think the answer to that question is no. Why? Because apologetics doesn't save. The Christian Post just put up an article saying, hey, to those of you who claim that apologetics don't save, stop saying that, you're wrong. Well, I'm one of those people, and I don't think I'm wrong, and I think it's pretty easy to demonstrate that. On the one hand, let's say you've got the gospel. Jesus died for sinners. God is holy, righteous, just. You're not. Therefore, he must punish you. He will, unless your court case is dismissed by one who pays your fine. And that, of course, is Jesus Christ. So if you'll repent, put your trust in him, your sins will be forgiven. You'll be justified. You'll be adopted. One day you'll be glorified. That's the gospel. There it is in my right hand. In the left hand, you've got apologetics, archaeological evidence, textual criticism. You've got yourself, hey, we've got this many manuscripts versus Caesar's Gallic Wars. Those are all apologetics. Now, question, can people get saved merely from hearing what's in the right hand? Yes. Can people get saved from merely hearing what's in the left hand? And the answer is no, because you haven't explained the gospel. Do we ever practice apologetics? The answer to that question is, of course we should practice apologetics. We should be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within us. But it is worth noting that Paul did not approach people to apologize for the faith. Okay, everybody, go ahead, take a shot. I'm going to be ready to explain to you from the Old Testament or archaeological evidence that Jesus is God. He didn't do that. Instead, he dialegomide. The word dia, it's to talk through. It's to move somebody from point A to point B. In other words, it's to persuade. Apologetics leans back. Okay, hit me with your best shot. But presenting the gospel leans in. Let me tell you about salvation through Jesus Christ. Jordan Peterson is, if you will, an apologist. And his version of apologetics, it was loaded with ambiguity, shrouded with large words that would confuse just about anybody. And I think that even his tenor sometimes was, well, just not what it should be.
God is the unity upon which moral claims are based. That's okay. A definition, right?
Okay, if there is a God, what is the purpose of life?
Well, in the Christian...
Okay, that just... to glorify God and enjoy him forever.
Tradition, the purpose of life is to engage in voluntary, upward self-sacrifice so that the kingdom of heaven can be established on earth.
Okay, is that what the purpose of Christianity is? And the answer to that is that's not like entirely wrong, but it's nowhere near right. First of all, his emphasis in good Roman Catholic fashion is on works. We do stuff here. It's about doing stuff here so that the kingdom can be expanded. Now, he doesn't articulate that, but that isn't what Christianity is about. Christianity is about Jesus Christ dying for sinners so that we can be reconciled to God. Without works, we rely on the works of Jesus. Jordan Peterson, it's clear. I he talked about Jesus and forgiveness of sins. He did do that on occasion in this 2-hour, whatever this thing was. He did say that, but did he make that central? Did he make that what Christianity is all about? And the answer to that question is no, he didn't.
So you're trying to make it to heaven and avoid hell?
Yes, that's a good way of thinking about
what
it.
What is the purpose of heaven? Do you understand? Well, so here's the deal.
Opposite of endless suffering. How about
we
that?
That's a part of it. We do escape endless suffering, but that's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about you get to be with the one who demonstrated his love by dying for us while we were yet sinners. That's what makes heaven heaven. That we get to be with God for eternity, enjoying every good thing that he's prepared for us. That's what Christianity is about. Jordan Peterson, I think, has perhaps, hopefully, finally revealed this is a fellow that we simply should not be encouraging our young people, particularly our young men, to be following. He speaks on the Bible a lot. He's done other sorts of roundtables to talk about the Bible. He's taught on the Bible, at least the book of Genesis. And the man is, to be charitable, so detached from classical biblical Christianity. Maybe it's time to, as lovingly as possible, say, danger, Will Robinson. It's time to run from Jordan Peterson. And if we can, in a field that we understand, theology, Christian theology, recognize that he's off, how off is he in his field of expertise, which is psychology? And the answer to that is like a double way off, because his understanding is almost exclusively Jungian. And psychology is just wrong fundamentally. Maybe it's time to find a better source than Dr. Peterson. This is Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. You remember when you first discovered solid biblical teaching? It was the moment when the door swung open and everything changed in your life. What if we could fling those doors wide open for everyone, everywhere? Later this year, we're unveiling something unprecedented, and that's why we need you now. More than ever before. Through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled through our matching grant. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth before June 30th, because truth, well, it was never meant to have barriers. fortisinstitute.org/truth. You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's at fortisinstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
What do you get when you combine 8 of today's most trusted Christian voices with a commitment to unwavering biblical truth? Well, of course, you get Fortis Institute, your daily source for spiritual strength. We're not offering opinions here. We're providing a fortress of biblical wisdom for these challenging times that we're all living in. The best part? It's all free. Just visit fortisinstitute.org right now and join our community of believers who refuse to be tossed to and fro by the cultural wave. Because in times like these, we need more than just information. We need transformation.
Know your church fathers. Tertullian is known as Asia's first Christian theologian. He came from Assyria and studied under Justin Martyr before returning to prepare a path for the gospel into Western Asia. He wrote A Harmony of the Four Gospels. It was the primary gospel text in Syria throughout the 3rd and 4th centuries.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Prepare to see a human speed bag. This is Wretched Radio. Dr. Jordan Peterson accepting an invitation to sit in the center of 20 atheists who rushed to the open chair across the little table at which he sat to pepper him with questions about presumably his Christian worldview, although Dr. Peterson, he didn't want to disclose that he's actually a Christian, although that's what the entire conversation was about. Nevertheless, these 20 atheists approached him, and this is a fellow who is simply out of his depth. He is brilliant. There's no question. The guy is brilliant. In fact, he borders on so smart. He's almost kind of so otherly that it's hard to track. He's just on a different plane. But the plane that he shouldn't be playing on is the Christian plane, because these young people, there are two ways to learn: by good example, by bad example. You determine which example this is.
Hi there.
It's very nice to meet you.
What's your name?
I'm Ian.
Hi, Ian.
Yes. So God's...
Again, these atheists. He's being polite. He gets a little aggressive. That'll happen in a forum like this. But pleasant enough fellow. Let's remember that. Should we be in Jordan Peterson's shoes someday? First of all, they'd probably be too small for me. Second of all, that you want to just be nice. There, you don't give away anything by being nice. Back to Ian.
He says that you can own people as property. He says that you can beat them with a rod too. He commands genocide and Deuteronomy and...
Okay, here comes the laundry list of grievances against God. This is one of those times where it's like, I want to be able to explain it, but I want to let you put God on trial. Hey, what about slavery? Hey, what about genocide? Hey, what about... These things, by the way, are all easy to answer if you understand the character and the nature of God. And that is what I would do with this young man. Explain to him justice, that he likes justice. Well, where does that come from? It's a reflection of God's justice system, where he demands that people live by his laws. And when they break them, he must punish them. And it is his right as the author, the creator of all things, the owner of a cattle on a thousand hills, to give life, to take life away. And he can do that whenever he chooses. And he can do whatever he wants because it pleases him, because he's the owner of stuff. And this owner is just. And so when people like the Canaanites, who were sacrificing babies for 400 years, was then wiped out at the command of God to the nation of Israel, which would soon be the nation of Israel, to wipe them out, that was well within his prerogative. He has every right to do that. Why? Because they're lawbreakers. They're criminals. And God can determine who gets the death penalty and when. Let's see how Jordan does.
In Numbers and in Samuel, I mean, they have a baby barbecue in Numbers. Like,
exactly. Exactly. And God detests that.
Is all of this in line with Christian ethics?
No.
So then God doesn't fit within Christian ethics.
Well.
See, when you try to intellectualize Christianity and make it palatable so that people don't think God is a great big cosmic meanie, you're going to sound like Jordan. We don't need to apologize for God. Yeah, we can use apologetics, but we're not going to apologize. God can dictate everybody's first and last breath because he's the sustainer of life. And if he chooses to say, I'm taking it back, he has every right to do that. Furthermore, when you've got a group of people who are having a baby barbecue, I would ask Ian, do you think that those people should have been rewarded for their behavior? Should there be any justice for them? Should God let them live forever on the planet? That's how I might respond to Ian.
The biblical library is a continuing story, and everything written in it has to be contextualized by...
Oh. Hey, God was kind of, all right, back then, it was a little different, and God, a little on the crabby side, but that's in that context. The Bible progresses. This is almost like a trajectory hermeneutic. This is God getting better as he goes. That is not the way to defend the Christian faith.
The entire text, there's 65,000 hyperlinks in the biblical text. You can take pieces of it out of context and criticize them, and that's what you're doing. But mm-hmm.
No, actually, he's doing okay. He's using it as a cudgel to try to bludgeon the Christian faith. But he's not taking it necessarily out of context. He's lacking in a bigger context. Why would God do this? Why did God write rules about slavery? Why did God determine those people can't live in the land? For instance, he could have invoked the Abrahamic covenant to explain this nation is to be a set aside people, a royal priesthood, chosen by God himself, delivered from Egypt so that they would occupy a land and be peculiar and different for at least two reasons. Number one, so that God would bless them in the quid pro quo covenant of Moses, so that the nations would see their light shining and be attracted to it and say, who's your God who blesses you so much? In other words, Israel would be a light to lighten the Gentiles. Second, it would be the place out of which the promised Messiah came in the Abrahamic covenant, threefold: land, nation, seed. The seed is the head crusher promised in Genesis 3:15. Jesus is coming, and he's going to come out of a set aside people in this zip code in fulfillment of all of the prophecies that God gave. That provides, I think, the context for explaining why God would say these people can't live in the land. I've got greater purposes for it. And he's not he can take whoever you think is the most sanctified person on the planet. Whoever's like, you think, oh, they probably never sin. Well, they do. And God would have every right to take their life. And if we don't start explaining the character and the nature of God, what it is that he is doing in the Old Testament, providing that context, then a guy like Ian's going to mop the floor with you, which I fear he did with Jordan Peterson.
That's a mistake, I think. It's an analytic mistake because you're putting the cart before the horse.
I really don't think so. I think if we say that something is Christian ethics, then I think that all of the books essential to Christianity would fit with it, especially if it's like the main character. When we're talking about
God. How do you deal
with
the morality of war? So, how do you think you should deal with the morality?
Sure. Because I feel like the...
I think I know where he's trying to go with this. Hey, is war ever justified? Therefore, God can be a warrior and his actions are justified. I hope that's maybe where he's going. But it's really to not hit it right on the nose. Instead, hey, well, okay, I get it. A lot of people got killed by the Israelites, wiped out, men, women, and children. Zoinks go, oh, right. Contextually, that looks pretty bad, doesn't it? But hey, the Bible progresses and God gets nicer and morality improves. That is a horrid response. I think we need to press forward, we're not going to be a speed bag for atheists. We don't have to be. In fact, it doesn't help them. And I'm not talking about becoming aggressively offensive, but I am saying, let me ask you, Ian, my atheist friend, God is perfect, righteous, holy, just. He is totally pure light. When he sees darkness, wickedness, depravity, violation, willing violation of his laws, should that God just say, oh, well, I'm going to let them burn their babies on the scalding arms of Moloch because I'm nice? Is that what you think is right, Ian? Of course not. It is because God is so just and so holy and so righteous. He has not only the right, but in a sense, I don't want to use the word responsibility as an ideal because he's not beholden to anything, but it is because of his nature and his character that justice is demanded. Furthermore, Ian, you need to understand, you're going to be one who is going to have to give an account to God too. And he's going to take your life. You're not going to escape what nobody else has escaped, and that is death. What are you going to do when you face a perfectly holy God on Judgment Day? That's to press in, not to reel back as Ian pounds you with one biblical outrage after the next.
The morality, like I feel like Christian ethics, like this is kind of, I guess I just think it's like kind of an absurdity to say that God doesn't fit within Christian ethics, but sure, well, we can go on my ethics. That's totally fine.
I don't know what you mean by an absurdity. What game are you playing with?
Well,
that
I just think that it's an absurdity to say that the Christian God doesn't fit within Christian ethics, that like the Christian God isn't like that. Christian.
I noticed something else about what Jordan was attempting to do, to trip them up in their questions, to force them to drill down. And sometimes I think that that is a wise practice. What do you mean by that? That's a helpful question, but I think he was trying to do that as a defensive mechanism. And I think the reason is the poor fellow was out of his depth. He was a speed bag for 20 atheists. And his ability, perhaps the most tragic moment of all, is when he couldn't answer the question, what does it mean to be a Christian? That is the fundamental question. And we should all be prepared to answer that question. But might I suggest we stop doing it in a posture of leaning back, reeling. Oh, I know. Like, whoo, the Canaanites getting wiped. Oh, and we press in and we proclaim the God of holiness who demands righteousness, who will not leave the lawbreaker unpunished. Enough defending God. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.